This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here with Mike Wolf from KPMG.
Thank you for having me. I work at KPMG in what we call our modern delivery practice, and I'm the lead for that. Modern delivery for us is a holistic view that combines agile DevOps with product management, lean financing, and design thinking. That really says as its tenant, you only really get the value and return on investment of each of these elements if you see it as a holistic piece of it. Otherwise, they, to some extent, could actually cost you more, slow you down in bits of it that really, to make this valuable, it has to be in a transformational view of how DevOps and Agile can not only make you move faster at releasing a thing, but make sure that you are releasing the right thing to the right people.
We're seeing a transformation in DevOps. It's been hidden away in the IT department for a very long time. As we start to look at the wider business and we become software businesses across everything, there's a play for DevOps in different departments. What is it that you're seeing?
I think that's right. I think I've been seeing it as the opsifying of everything. You're now hearing design ops, research ops. These are coded words for just improvements. The greatest thing about DevOps was it's a great brand because people can buy into it and understand it and it's catchy. The value of it comes in the fact that in the DevOps culture, it was all about improvement. And now you're seeing this transcend. And at the same time, IT realizing that they can't really improve everything. They need to break down the silos, not just within the IT organization, but within the business organization to really make the impactful change. IT can't make operating model changes, generally. IT can't make broad cultural changes towards a product-centric, customer-centric point of view. And so really you're seeing in this shift left element of it, of improving the business in a way that they do things. And where we end up being in this is being the translator between the business needs and objectives to IT's goals and objectives. And if you simplify it down, the business cares about OKRs, objectives and key results, and IT cares about SLIs and SLOs and SLAs. We help them glue these things together because neither are going to gain their objectives unless they really know how to speak to each other and work together and make a change.
If we look at what's happened inside IT, we've torn down the barrier between developers and operations teams. We've looked at the complex processes each of them had and we've aligned them. We've simplified them into binary steps, which means we can automate and create pipelines. When we look at the rest of the business, oddly enough, we have those same problems, those same silos between departments. Are you seeing customers talking to their IT team and saying, well, how did you deal with breaking down silos? How did you simplify? How did you automate and taking that forward?
The value of the DevOps revolution is seeing that this isn't just a technology, but this is a cultural shift. And great IT leaders are then trying to figure out how that transcends outside organization. We're increasingly seeing the business go, wait, there's no business strategy and technical strategy and digital strategy. There's just strategy for the business. And by that rationale, you're increasingly seeing technology leaders becoming just business leaders. That indistinguishable nature, if you look at that of, I think JPMC made a large announcement recently about hiring the AI lead from Google. And they're hiring them into lead positions, not just lead technology positions. And so I think that breaking down of silos is that transcendent piece of becoming much more of a strategy and not just a technology strategy. Along that way is then it goes, what are the things that we can improve about the process that IT has been able to find ways to do broader into the business? And then inverse, I think finally the business is realizing they need to fix the other side of the house at the same time.
We've had business process re-engineering seemingly for several decades. It doesn't seem to really deliver much for a lot of organizations. Part of that is because they invest a lot of time in creating a process and they assume it's going to be static. We're now in a period of time where nothing is static for more than a few weeks, a few months, if you're very lucky in a lot of industries. If you're not innovating, you're dying. How much does DevOps allow people to dispose of this idea of processes written on stone tablets and make processes a fluid, flexible thing, but still be valid for the business?
Couple things to decompose out of what you just said. One is it's not static. It is constantly evolving. If you take the idea that business process is not something written on paper, but a business process is something which is checked in as code, self-documenting as the process. I think the other piece of that is that generally when we would do classic business process reengineering, we did it in the context of the confines of the current operating model, current org structure, which is very hierarchical, not often very product-centric or solution-centric or customer-centric. It's how do we improve the process given our organizational structures. The shift here is by taking this technology-first approach. If you look at large product companies, they solve it based off of the product, the solution. They're not going, well, Jane is in IT and Jim is in risk, and so this process compensates for the constraints of that organization. Instead, it goes, what do customers need? What do customers want? How do we engineer that solution? That's becoming systemic change. You're hearing business people talk about the Spotify model. Hearing a business person talk about guilds is still strange to me. And even that, I mean, if you look at even the language, say, for example, about the Spotify model, it is so overtly geeky. You're talking about squads and guilds? Like, come on. If the business is starting to look at those words and adapting it, it's a clear sign of that transcending aspect of technology.
One of the worries companies have once the process has become fluid is, what happens if I'm audited? What happens if something goes wrong? How do we point to the fact that this is what we were supposed to do? What is it with DevOps that we can do today, or that we need to add in order to provide that audit stability?
One of the anti-patterns is that developers and operations see controls as a scary thing that needs to be tested and controlled, and we need to keep audit and risk outside of this. The reality is that all of the things that they're doing today around improving quality, be it static analysis, linting, SecOps, is actually just enforcing controls. I think the control word freaks them out because they don't understand what that means. And then to the governance side, we know that I can take a requirement that has a visual design, could be in an app like InVision as a visual design, which then I can trace to a task in a tool like Jira, which then I could trace to the build happening in a tool like Jenkins, to a red-green deployment and all the analytics that went on to that, to then be in production. That is inherently auditable and traceable end-to-end in a way that current processes and controls can't. We have a strong belief in KPMG that the future of things like audit involves AI, involves RPA. So the nice thing is I can come forward and go, hey, I'm a technologist. I can talk to you things about Jenkins and other tools. I can also bring my audit friends along who can make sure that the process we're putting in place is auditable. Oh, by the way, I can bring my risk consultants along who can help advise about how to do risk and controls. I can bring my internal audit people along who can go, hey, actually, this is how we can trace it the whole way through. I can bring my digital enablement people who can help implement a pipeline. Our view of this industrial shift is that it is a transformation, and subsequently you need all of those skills. Taking it full circle, that's why, to me, inherently DevOps enables true audibility. And then you're switching from auditing outcome to auditing controls, auditing the tests as the implementation, and thus they're self-documenting of what the process was.
One of the things you mentioned there was RPA. Automation, of course, is key to success of DevOps. But we live in a world in a business where everything is complex. In order to automate, you have to decompose everything to a whole set of very obvious binary steps. It can't be more than a binary step for automation, because your challenge then is you've got logic gates that take you off into different directions. When we look at the compliance and the complexity inside organizations, and you start to talk to them about DevOps and automation, do they get the light bulb moment that they can now decompose this so that they really understand? Or is there still some fear that in simplifying, actually, they will understand it even less?
There's a concern that simplifying will make them understand it even less. There's also an understanding that the brute force methods of gates and boards are no longer functioning. That the complexity has become so much so that they actually need to go back to decompose it into actionable chunks. If you take microservices as an architectural approach, I like to define it as simple enough that any single person can contain the concept within their head of its purpose, objective, and outcome. If you look at the complexity of any large system, the reason why you have to go into all of those boards, et cetera, is because they've deemed themselves that they've worked into a rabbit hole of complexity. To some extent, by breaking this down, all of a sudden you can concentrate on what the value outcomes are. Now, that's a cultural shift that can't come from the bottom. By that, I mean developers go, well, no, you're just overcomplicating it. We'll just do microservices. And then the business goes, you don't understand the complexity of my problems. There needs to be this alignment at the top from an organizational structure to go, actually, we are stupidly complex. Why did we do this? A. B, there's a lot of tedium that I can remove from the system. I can also improve the quality here. And being able to come to that commonality of purpose and objectives from both an executive leadership side is not going to come as it's being pushed today from developers.
One of the things we hear a lot at conferences are business leaders talking about the need to be transparent. One of the challenges to that is when we have compliance that is inherently deeply complex and we have regulation which is complex. Transparency is very hard to do because these things change. Very few people in the organization understand them. They attempt to write a playbook for other people to implement, and the reality is most people interpret that playbook within their own understanding. They don't necessarily produce a solution that goes to the compliance or the regulation. When we think about the decomposing and the automation and what DevOps brings, how does that improve our ability to meet compliance, meet regulation, and more importantly, deliver that much sought-after transparency?
I would say there's actually more of a risk of exposing the faults in your current governance pattern. The moment you start to take human perception out of that choice, you're going to expose things that, wow, we weren't looking at this. We weren't looking at this. We weren't looking at this. And that can become its own anti-pattern of trying to solve all the problems at once. Transparency is an interesting one. There's transparency and empathy. Where people get concerned with the transparency is it exposes needs and values without understanding that people's perceptions of those needs and values are inherently different. The needs and values of security all of a sudden becoming really clear of the needs and values to development, and the concern that if you're overly transparent around it, people will find ways around it. The inverse is, take an open source versus closed source analogy, by going with a lack of transparency, you're enabling poor behavior. You're enabling the studying to the exam questions, not actually taking in governance and controls inherently as part of the design. I'm going to, as a developer, this is my checklist. I'm going to go through the checklist, and I know that I can do this and this and this and this and this and this, which does not actually change behavior. Just you're going through a test. And similarly, security and cyber often then becomes a checklist system of a lack of understanding of what the purpose was, as opposed to taking a security as a design principle perspective, taking auditability as a design principle, taking traceability as a design principle, and tying that all together so it's not an afterthought testing, passing the test. It's a designing for those things, and the tests are just to validate that your design matched the outcome. We're not teaching kids to take the SAT. We're teaching kids to be better learners. It's a silo breakdown thing of all of a sudden I'm not going to a board, I'm not going to a process in my stage. They're part of the process all along.
Testing's an interesting one because testing touches on everything here. When we think about testing, we tend to think much more about IT. But in a product world, there's massive amounts of testing and approval that we have to do. Some of that, again, is regulation compliance driven. And we tend to have very complicated ways of doing it. We have hugely paper-driven processes to enable us to sign things off and say we get there. We're solving part of that in the technology world with automation, with shift left, with DevOps. How do we package that and take that to product test teams and say, look, you might be producing widgets, but actually there's a whole bunch of this that will simplify your life.
This is where I tie all these things together in my modern delivery mindset. Really, the business is asking, basically, they want to be like product companies. They want to learn and evolve. They're frustrated with the employee experience they're getting out of their enterprise apps, and thus are jumping to consumer-level apps that do pretty much everything that they want to do today. Why use internal messaging when I can use WhatsApp? Making that mind shift change, if I'm going to shift left, I now need to shift my expectations of acting like a product company. And I need to not just test, did it meet the requirements and the documentation I have, the requirements, did it satisfy the business need? Did that requirement meet my objective? Did it delight my employees just as an emoji in WhatsApp delights my friends? And that shifting of that expectation that you're testing is not just the testing of a feature wrote data to MongoDB whatevers, but did that feature enable the business to make a change? And changing that testing from being rote process and following the requirements to did it have a business outcome? And subsequently, from a metric perspective, notifying the business of that outcome and how we're meeting those achievements, not just these were the X amount of deployments that happened today, here's my JIRA reports, but things that make sense and matter to them.
What's fascinating to me about this conversation is it's clear we can take this technology and we can apply it across the business. But we're not really hearing that as a wider conversation out there at the moment. If I were to ask you for three things, four things, whatever works, what needs to be done to take this and deploy it more widely?
One is, as an industry, we need to move past tools being the solution. Tools and the ecosystem tools is an important part of the solution. It's not the solution. We need to partner between the business and IT to see this as an end-to-end goal and outcome and collaborate it on. Business leaders need to realize that there's no business strategy and digital strategy is only strategy. And to do that, we need to have shared outcomes and goals to achieve on those. I know they sound very broad transformational, and that's by design. To enable that, there is a lot of nuts and bolts to do that. I'm not disregarding the fact that there's a lot of work to do in pipelines. There's a lot of work to do in automation and things like Ansible and all of that nuts and boltsy bit. But if you ask a business leader, they're going to say, well, I need to have, for example, an AI-driven business. Okay, that's a valid point. Then you go to IT and you go, well, how do we do this? Well, I think that I need to automate the process of deploying those models. Okay, how are you going to get risk to approve the fact that you're making changes in models that don't have code but are based off of the data that's being injected into it and how the data has been parsed together to get that so you can release tomorrow? Oh, well, I guess I got to work on that problem of getting the approval. I think that that transcendent piece is really what we're saying is that gray area that in order to move forward, to move out of devs and operations working with their tools in isolation, we need to bring that common understanding of this is the business goal. Great. This is the nuts and bolts. Great. Do you care about my nuts and bolts? Well, I care that it matches my risk and audit and governance. Okay, if I resolve all that, we can do this? Well, yeah, as long as it gets me to my goal of driving AI through the business. Cool. There's no way that you industrialize something like AI without tying all those things together.
I think it's going to be interesting as companies carry on their digital transformation and turn themselves into software companies to see how far they get. Thank you for your time today, Mike.
Thank you.